Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. This first clip I'm going to play today is from Zach that's been calling in on the Alex Jones InfoWars program. And the reason I'm playing it in an extended version of it, and I have edited this a little bit. I've edited out some things that were just going on that I didn't think were relevant. But anyway, I left most of the pertinent and relevant information in there. But Zach has been calling in for a number of years or so, a year or more. And he's been giving Alex some very, very inside information, intelligence. He talked about QAnon being a group of individuals versus one individual and so forth. And anyway, we're going to put that up right now. So listen very carefully to it. And then I'll make some comments at the end here.
All right, the gentleman we have on is anonymous, but he's not anonymous to us. We know his full name. We know who he is. We've confirmed it. And he's been on national news before as a individual with the U.S. military in some of the most secretive areas of counterterrorism. And we'll just leave it at that. Of course, he's formerly out of Florida. He has left and gone to Morocco, where he believes he can give us more information. And again, he gave us devastating info that they didn't even touch in the media on Vegas and exactly, you know, the intel we should look at on what really happened there. And now they admit they're lying about what happened. That's why they just went away. They stopped using that against the guns real quick. And a lot of other information. He's been brought in by the FBI, visited once, brought in by the FBI the second time, brought into the Army. He's not giving us anything classified here. As a citizen, he's pointing out things that are hiding in plain view that people not trained for it won't see. We've been wanting to get him on. He hasn't been ready to. Obviously, his lawyers, I guess, have given him the green light. So we're going to break down some very, very important things here on air. And it's why the globalists hate live, unfiltered broadcasts like this, because other people don't do this. And I don't say that they go, oh, look, we're big and bad. I'm just telling you, folks, that somebody can anonymously put something, you know, out there on the internet. It's like it's manna from, you know, Jesus. And sometimes it's disinformation. Zach is who he says he is and has been in very, very important areas of this whole thing to be able to give us the information he gives us, and is doing this at a risk to himself because there's kind of mafia rules to this, at least still in the West, that if you're a real journalist and keep your nose clean, they still don't kill you. But if you've worked in the system, then they think they own you and they kill you. Now, there's a lot of good people in our government, and there's an internal civil war going on for the heart and soul of the country, and it's spilt out in the open now, okay? So, Zach, we appreciate your courage. We appreciate you joining us. Last time you were on, you were in Morocco. Are you still in Morocco?
As of yesterday, first and foremost, Alex, it's a pleasure to be back on with you. I had to come on and connect some dots. As of yesterday, I'm flown out of Casablanca. I'm actively right now east of Orlando en route to Cape Canaveral to bring up my first point, which is part of four that are critical information that we will discuss here.
Okay, well, go ahead. Your phone's breaking up a little bit, but go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me loud and clear now?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, first and most importantly, I had to get in touch with Nico about the North Korea information, because what's going on in Cape Canaveral this weekend, and I hope your researchers could kind of, in real time, pick this stuff up with me because it's out there right now. This is Area 59. SpaceX is having a launch this weekend. Weather, it was supposed to happen yesterday, but because of weather, it's going to happen this weekend. It's the SpaceX Falcon 9. With the secret payload Zuma, and that's going to go into orbit, and that is done by SpaceX, but the payload is in conjunction with the U.S. Air Force. Does the DOD fulfill contract?
Now you're not saying anything secret yet, but I want you to be careful here, okay?
No. This is public. It's just people aren't connecting the dots or getting the breadcrumbs yet. I mean, you could Google that and find that.
But obviously, North Korea knows, and notice they're suddenly calling. For the first time in decades, and having marches now calling for peace. Isn't that funny?
Well, okay. I got four major points here, and I gotta get to them all because they're all interconnected.
Go through it.
The SpaceX launch, the Falcon 9 with the Zuma, that's the Z-U-M-A payload. That's U.S. Air Force. That's going to be done out of what they're calling Area 59. That's not conspiratorial. That's official. That's outside of Cape Canaveral there. And that's Elon Musk fulfilling a DOD contract, which he's done plenty of all of a sudden, which ties into the spectrum bug. You were alluding to it a couple minutes ago as I was listening. That is the backdoors into the microprocessors of everything. Okay, here's the deal. The Silicon Valley sultans have fell in line because they saw what happened to Schmidt, and they're not untouchable. Elon Musk has picked his side. He's in with DOD. But we have collected a lot of information. I shouldn't say we have collected a lot of information. There's a lot of information being collected, PDFs. It's been mirrored. It's been copied. Class action lawsuits have been filed because of this spectrum bug in California, Oregon, and most importantly, and weirdly, Indiana. Why Indiana? Well, I could tell you why Indiana. There's some troubling emails between Mike Pence, Stephen Bannon, and we could get into Miles Kwok and how that all works out. And I got a couple more points here. I'm sorry if I'm jumping, but this stuff's pretty critical.
No, absolutely.
Right,
continue.
Okay. So the spectrum bug could be read as spying on, you know, everyday Americans. And make no mistake, whether you're a public official at the highest levels of power, if you're a congressman, a senator, if you happen to be a secretary of state, if you happen to be whatever you are, make no mistake, you use the same devices. So if you think you could bleach them, if you think you could have a house fire and play victim and get rid of them, you are highly mistaken, because the Silicon Valley sultans put the spectrum bug out there. It's classified. Nobody's going to know who dropped it, but the information's out there. And now we have the information. Now we have the PDF, which will be released. Assange will be released. Bannon made a big, big, big mistake. Here's the problem with Bannon. Bannon tried to align with Miles Kwok. Miles Kwok, people probably don't know who he is, but the Chinese billionaire who should be in China. He is the rook. He is the main piece when it comes to this North Korea strike. This Zuma halo that's going to be fulfilled by SpaceX, which launches those frigates into orbit, is going to do something for DOD that I can't get into, that will make the North Korea act plausible and not as catastrophic as people are worried about. Also, it's going to give us the green light with China. We're going to give them Miles Kwok, and we are going to get the green light to take out North Korea, as me and you talked about many months ago. Bannon in some weird, I don't know what happened. I think I do know what happened, because I've seen some emails and some PDFs. They were attempting to pull off the 25th against 45. Obviously, that didn't happen, and they thought they were dealing with an idiot. This is serious. This is happening right now. This is happening right now.
Well, I know. Roger Stone is much more than he seems, obviously, and he's been down at Mar-a-Lago. I'm going to leave it at that. And eight months ago, I was like, shut up about Kwok. Kwok, 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 Kwok. And then the Chinese president came and they said, give us Kwok and then we'll back you on the North Korea. And Stone knew that back before it was even on the news. And he just has been obsessed with it. And then he brings it up every time he talks to the president. And, the president's so busy, he's like, literally like, what, that guy hadn't been yet? I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Well, the issue was they were double dealing Bannon, Tillerson. Tillerson's next. What they don't understand is,
well, that's what, okay, I'll just say it. Stone told me that Bannon was going to be out 6 months ago because of intelligence operations getting caught up by the Chinese. And then it was basically forbade from talking about it, but now it's basically out. And I was like, absolutely, I don't want to come out and say Bannon's in bed with the Chinese. Are you kidding? But that's the word, and it sounded crazy to me, and now look at this.
So then, you know, you have Trump coming out, and I can't get into certain things that are going on, but yeah, there are operations protecting the...
Yeah, just because that Kwok guy is running around shooting his mouth off about China, that's the biggest Trojan horse I've ever seen. You can take one look at that guy. Sorry.
What could be said about Steve Bannon that hasn't already been said about Karl Rove? And what could be said about Karl Rove that hasn't already been said about Vannevar Bush? Yuck. The Silicon Valley sultans had to fall in line, and Elon Musk did, because they saw what happened to the actual sultans in Saudi Arabia. And as we spoke about months ago, the viewers could pick it up. I told everybody, first year salvage, second year savage. And what we're seeing right now is nothing short of remarkable. And I'm just telling you right now, Kwok will be extradited and Assange will be in the United States within about a week. And that's going to be a switch that's going to happen. And, you know, here's the last thing. So I left Casablanca yesterday in Morocco. I had to go there for certain things. But Elon Musk is a patriot. Assange is a patriot. Elon Musk has a lot of interest in the Sahara and making huge solar farms as he does in Australia. And I can tell you right now that Musk is a fan of yours. I could tell you the same way. Maybe you didn't know who I was back then, but Farrakhan was a fan of yours. The problem is the image, and they think, you know, all the clicks.
No, I'll just say it now. It wasn't off the record, but I just, I can't even get into it. I mean, that's incredible. Hold on. Stay right there. We'll be right back on the other side with our real QAnon. Stay with us. This isn't a game. It's not a drill. It's not make-believe. We're not LARPing here. This is not live-action role-playing. This isn't fantasy land. This is the real world, and Zach is a real high-level intelligence source. His information has just continued to turn out to be stunningly good, and that's why the FBI has come and questioned him once and taken him to the military base the other time and held him and then released him. And I think it's important that people understand that people like Assange and people like Zach put themselves at great risk in just defense of basic human liberty. Meanwhile, Republicans asked DOJ for criminal probe of ex-British spy Steele, who penned Trump dossier that's now admitted to be fake by Steele. And Grassley's also calling basically for, well, there's a new criminal investigation of Hillary. It's all happening, and Eric Schmidt had to leave. Let's get into other tidbits you haven't hit on and why Schmidt had to go and the big shakeup, because they're still censoring. But the word is they've been told by the head of the FCC publicly and privately that they better stop or they're going to break up Google, Facebook, and Twitter. Truly anonymous intelligence source. Zach, please continue. Now back in the U.S. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's the Spectre bug. Like I said, we call them Silicon Valley Fulton. They figured it out. You know, Musk kind of leaped the way there, but we're not messing around here. And So let me just get into this one because I missed this point. I should have probably started with this. Huma Abedin, I don't know if you remember our call a couple weeks ago, but we made the HRC Huma Obama connection there. Make no mistake, Huma's going to be indicted. Huma's going to be prosecuted. Sessions is doing some. First of all, Sessions is compromised. Sessions is a very compromised. Tillerson is very compromised. And when the Spectrum bug comes out, the PDFs come out, it's not going to come from an individual person, but they would just be published, and then you're also be able to report them, so that is what it is. But with that being said, he understands the writing's on the wall there, and they got 19 new prosecutors looking into all the sealed indictments and whom has done. But the problem is the stuff, you know, whom is the Awan brother connection. And with the Awan brother connection, they're the damning emails with the Spectre bug.
Sure, I don't want to interrupt you, but what about this fire in their bedroom? A firebombing. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so that's double barbed, and people will know what that means. They're not untouchable, and a lot of people aren't happy with them, so something happened there. Of course, I know nothing about that, but something did happen there, and it was an attempt to burn or get rid or destroy certain evidence, hardware, and even hard files that they had, and play some sort of weird game. But make no mistake, they had internal security that was like very tight there, but they were attacked. They were attacked, and they were just letting them know on Seth's birthday, on Seth Rich's birthday, that make no mistake, we're coming at you, and you're coming at you hard. And when it comes to Obama, and I'm sorry if I'm jumping, but when it comes to, because this is all connected, the HRC fire, she's done, Huma is done. Huma will be the end of HRC. That was a big problem for her, but we got the emails through Spectrum, it's all done. But the Obama Foundation, this guy's all around the world doing this and this and this and that. You know, the Obama Foundation's got a real problem. Barack Obama's got a real problem on his hand. He promised to close with Gitmo. It's kind of fitting and kind of poetic that he didn't close Gitmo. That was one of his promises that he didn't do. And funny enough, depending on how you look at it, some of his closest allies are going to end up being there, hated or not.
Amazing. other big points you'd like to make, or just talking to your colleagues, just a general sense of where this battle to restore the Republic is right now.
Okay. So this is the second year we're getting into 2018 with Trump. Trump puts out the tweet, and Trump, you know, they criticize him for Twitter, and they criticize him for having some, I guess you could call them deep state or left behind actors or whatever. But
well, they criticize whatever's over the target.
Well, Trump tweets, and this is out there. You know what makes a good movie? Good actors. He played Bannon. He played Tillerson. He's playing Haley. He's letting them. He's working them for what they're worth. It's not going to be that bad, but your political careers are over. And they're done. Bannon is a special case because he's especially crazy. Like, he's actually out of his mind. And when you see the PDFs, you know, the people he's talking about, and you'd be surprised. You would be surprised who he's talking to. We know he's talking to Miles Kwok, but Miles Kwok, we have to understand, he wasn't even on the radar for a little bit, but Vice Media, so Vice Media puts out a piece on this extradited Chinese billionaire. It's this puff piece of how he's this great guy in China, so terrible, and blah, blah, blah. And it's Shane Smith's Vice doing this. It's Shane Smith that has to sit down with Barack Obama and talking about his foundation.
Sure, it's a key operative.
It's intense, and I don't know if Gavin would talk about it, but just looking.
He comes off to me as a straight up Chinese communist agent. I don't even think he's a double dealer like they're trying to sell on the media.
Well, you know, I even admire individuals like Anthony Bourdain. Like, I like the show. It's an entertaining show. But when you talk about Hemlock, and if you watch into some of the other episodes where he opens the season at Shanghai and says, I think the new language of the world will be Mandarin. And it's like, what are you talking about? And where does he work now? It's like he worked at CNN. And I think...
Sure, it's a sellout to China. The globalists bet everything on China. It's not going to be the Chinese century. Okay. It's going to be the new American century.
It will. And, okay, so this is another one, and this is a big one. And this is what's going to come out next week, so let's not lose sight of Ambassador Jack F. Matlock, Jr. Jack F. Matlock, Jr. was an ambassador to Russia back in the 70s when we were having this issue with the falling USSR into becoming Russia, and he speaks prophetically about how they will do what they are doing now. And Trump has spoke about Matlock in meetings in some places and stuff like this, but let us not lose sight that the U.S., like the transition between the USSR into what Russia is today is not like that long of a historical, leap. So there's stay behind communists that are not so happy that the Soviet Union became Russia. And if we could understand that, a lot of this stuff starts to make sense. The problem is that we have a real president in, and they thought they were going to pull off the 25th on 45. But the only thing that resembles 25 is 25,000 in the Dow Jones. So they are all duped, and they are done.
That's right. 25,000 in the stock market trumps the old 25th Amendment. Absolutely.
Okay, and here's another little tidbit, and I have to pick, I'm sorry if I'm jumping, there's just a lot going on, and it's hard to get on sometimes, but, and Trump also uses the word pockets, in parentheses, pockets is very important, because it means we're cutting off the funding of Alawid and everything else, notice the timetable, notice that Schmidt steps down, all the stepping down, when the executive order happens, when Sessions, puts forward these new prosecutors, and all of a sudden Bannon loses his mind. This isn't a coincidence. The executive order has a lot to do with Bannon, because with the Spectre bug, some of the emails are pretty damning. They were going to claim he was crazy in the second year. They were going to push Pump. They were going to push Pence. They were going to thought.
Let's talk about the 25th Amendment plan with their moles that blew up in their face, according to all the evidence that's mounting. With you, straight ahead, we're bringing Millie Weaver in to finish up, and then she's got her big report. Stay with us. We'll be back. Spread the live links, folks, and local radio stations. All right, we've got loaded phone lines. We've got Mike Cernovich coming up. Riding shotgun with us here is Millie Weaver, our great InfoWars reporter. And she's been out on the street looking ahead at 2018 and 2020 and Trump's tweet storms about election fraud and voter ID, which have been proven absolutely on target in triplicate. So that's coming up as well as Millie rides shotgun with me into the next hour with Mike Cernovich. But going back to Zach, who, again, is a major whistleblower, gives us really great just analysis. And he's not giving us anything secret. He's just giving us analysis and his view, and he's been really accurate so far. And you see the storm that's here. Let me ask you to finish your points, and then I got a few questions, and Billy has some here. But first, what do you make of QAnon and that stuff that's going on? What do you make of the stuff going on at 8chan? Zach?
Let me be very careful when I say this. QAnon is not singular, it's plural. It's pillars holding up a platform that is the Republic of the United States.
Okay, very interesting. Other key points you want to get across people about what's going on behind the scenes?
I guess what I'm trying to say by that is it's not like one individual with one phenomenon or...
I understand. It's a consortium of people.
It's a few, very few. Less than you could count on one hand. But it's holding up something very important. And do you remember like memes like a little bit ago?
Yes.
About Trump being, first of all, like his one of his most business savvy assets was Vince McMahon of the WWF.
Yes, smacking down CNN.
Right, smacking down CNN. But what that represents is the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation, which is full spectrum dominance, which is perceived combat. It's not combat. It's scripted. Right. So when you see this wolf crap, when you see this Bannon stuff, they bring this wolf to the White House. Let Bannon show his true colors. Let him lose his mind. Let his blood sugar rise. Let him get a little sloppy. Let's see where you're really at. Go make your deal with Miles. Try to get a couple more million for Breitbart. There's people out there who got the PDF and the information. And I don't know what you're thinking. The 25th Amendment push didn't work. So what would you do if you were him? If you were an out of shape, out of your mind individual who thought that Donald Trump was going to crap his pants, and then you find yourself in a situation where that's not the case, and you're an egomaniacal sociopath who has to line his pockets and who's envious of InfoWars, and I have some interesting emails for you to read about that as well.
Well, I know this. My gut told me not to meet with Bannon.
Trump sees it. You have to understand, Trump sees it. It's not like, this isn't like a closed room with four or five people where it's like, okay, you go do this. Like the White House is like this huge apparatus where like this is not like, you have to understand the lay of the land. Like,
I know. You know, I haven't gotten a call from Trump in months, and he has to literally sneak away to call people, but... it's more genuine than I've seen him in his other phone calls. Other people, he's very genuine, but Trump really likes the excitement of taking the globalist on, and for them to claim, oh, he didn't really want to win and all this crap. I mean, Trump is like, keep attacking, never stop. We're going through. I'm not going to let you down. We will turn the country around. We will get it done. And it's like he's reporting to me, and I'm not saying it as a power trip. When he came to my audience, and that was the kickoff, and we all knew it was going to happen there. When he came to my audience, he was saying, I will not let you down. He was literally being honorable and saying, I'm ready for the mission.
He's a man of his word, and that counts for a lot in the political sphere because we've never seen that before. Most of the times we get politicians, puppets, whatever. They lie to us, tell us what we want to hear, and then they go
in
there.
It was the opposite of a narcissistic power trip about him. He's just making it about him as a logo to beat them trying to kill his image as a figurehead. That's why they hate it, because he's rebuilding it every day as they try to destroy it. But I'm just saying, when it comes down to it, he's into the thrill of the mission we're all on together. Exactly. That's the thrill for Trump. It's not about narcissism. He makes fun of himself. It's all a big joke when it comes to him. But when it comes to the country, he's for real. That's why they call him mentally ill, because he goes, he really cares. I'm sorry, Zach. Go ahead.
There was no term fake news before the Trump phenomenon. So why not let the wolf in the White House? This dude is going to self-implode. I mean, look at him. And you look at Bannon and anybody who sat down with him. I mean, I don't care, because what they did to Breitbart, I'm aware of what they did to Breitbart, and wait till we get the PDFs out. But Bannon is no Breitbart just because he happens to be there now. He's a slob. He's out of his mind. He thought he could be Karl Rove, but Donald Trump's not George W. So, and he made that very clear during one of the debates. And
you know, Zach, I kind of have a question that's been on my mind, because I was listening to you earlier and you were talking about North Korea, and we all know the globalists want to take Trump out, but there's been a lot of stuff that the mainstream media has been pushing with almost foreshadowing headlines that somehow Trump's going to be boisterous and North Korea is going to attack us.
Yeah, could they try to use the 25th Amendment to get rid of Trump via North Korea?
But is there also something, do you know of any information out there in the back channel of the globalists actually plotting to work with North Korea to have North Korea attack us in some way that it can be blown up at Trump's face?
What this is truly, that's a great question, Elian. And what this is like, it's truly a sad situation, because this is a generational plan that's been going on, and they spoke about the armistice. Anybody who's been in South Korea and the DMZ, like I was stationed over there for a bit, this has been going on for like 50 plus years, right? So it's like, eventually something had to occur, and they were invoking strategic patience. But when it came to Trump, and he said, hey, you know, what happened at 9/11? What's happened with our foreign policy? What's going on here? Eventually it had to come to an end. And once we realized how big of a pawn they were being used in the global scheme of things, it was important. And I made a call, and I said, North Korea, Yemen, and Iran are all connected.
We're back live. Billy Weaver riding shotgun with me into the next hour partway with Mike Cernovich, the journalist, investigative reporter. And we've got Zach here with us. Just such grave information we're talking about. And everything Zach's ever talked about here with us is either public domain or it gets verified. And it's a perspective into some of the things that are going on. I think we're going a little bit over the edge here with him getting into payloads on missiles and on rockets. I'll tell you, there's all sorts of stuff like that up there. Just what they've accidentally leaked. You know, they had that stuff up there in the late 70s. Star Wars didn't begin until they branded it that in the 80s. But before, it was just a Space Command, which they just announced officially a few years ago. It's been around since they formed NASA. NASA is the public name of Space Command, and that is the real clandestine breakaway government that Trump has been hinting he wants to now open up to the general public and take us light years into the future. But that's a whole other subject and a whole other area. I just know the stuff I was told about family that worked in some of those areas was that the stuff they saw in the 60s is what we have basically now.
They're hiding technology, essentially. Supposedly, I've heard that there's this museum of things that'll never be because it's like hoarded technology and information that essentially has been bought and the patents have been bought, and it's essentially technology that would free people.
It's known as disruptive technology. And there's kind of an allegory at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark where the Ark goes in, there's a whole warehouse and that stuff. And that's basically what it is. And the argument for the total surveillance is we've got such high-tech weapons and systems, we've got to surveil what everybody's doing to keep control. But then they're randomly gene splicing everywhere and doing all this insane crap. It's devilish. It's a race to become God. I told everybody this, and now Elon Musk is blowing the whistle and sounds exact word for word what I'm telling you, because he didn't get it from me. That's what goes on behind the closed doors.
And they pick and choose which technology they think is going to disrupt the system. Whereas look at how much iPhones have disrupted the system. Disrupts our regular life.
They bought anything that'll help us and call it disruptive, and everything that is disruptive, they roll out. It's always inversion because that's their system. Exactly. We're going to continue, Mel, because you're here because I wanted to hear your great report, but I'm running on and we've got to get back to Zach. Zach, go ahead and finish up, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, whether or not you think it's overstretched and makes a mistake, it's public information. Look at the Air Force and the DOD contracts that have been fulfilled by SpaceX. Nobody else, SpaceX. So we're in bed together whether we like it or not, and I can tell you firsthand that Elon Musk is a patriot. I can tell you firsthand that Assange is a patriot, and I can tell you that if Hillary Clinton had became president...
Well, you can just look at Assange, and he looks genuine and smart. It's like evil people look at him.
Let me hint to it. Go. I can tell you firsthand that Assange and Musk are on our team. They are aware of you. They are fans of you. But like anybody else, they run in circles where it's like, you know, people want to be popular, this and this, and some things are sensational. And it's the same thing with Farrakhan. He said this. He said that. I said, you just got to listen. Listen to what he's really saying. Like, imagine having the information and the knowledge of Alex. Like, let me bridge that gap when we could do that. And look what we've done. Look what we've completed. And this week in Cape Canaveral, when this SpaceX launch takes off, Operation Zuma, you know, what is this, the most successful president ever? This is 45, okay? On Christmas Day, you have the Secretary of Defense tweeting out an image of, you know, Washington crossing the Delaware. And I was in Morocco on the 25th. I couldn't spend the 25th in America. And I can tell you right now, on the 27th, we had some specific individuals connected to the Obama Foundation, specifically, but his security, if you want to call it that, you want to come, and I'm going to state this right now, right, but like, just to be clear, and it's like, there's nothing problematic about this. Obama Foundation was meant to give a speech in April in Marrakesh and, you know, late April. Sorry, that was canceled. Morocco. I'm sorry about that. But we know about the pay to play. We told the Majesty. We told the CEO of Mosaic in Florida. And next time you come to the Rift Mountain, and next time you come to check me, we'll see how it goes. It didn't work too well on the 27th of December, and here we are talking. So I'm doing what I'm doing.
And the money is being cut off from How about Soros? How's that creature doing?
Jesus Christ. Soros, first of all, Soros is running for his life because they will indict him. Listen, it might not even be government sanctioned. Somebody might just get him, but Soros is, first of all, Kwok is in bed with Soros. Kwok is talking to Bannon. So right there, we have a huge problem. I don't know Bannon personally. I've seen some PDFs and some emails, but like, I thought it was all fishy after what happened to Andrew Breitbart, and I didn't want to say anything about it because, you know, Trump actually did get elected, but I understand what he's doing now. Like, he's letting them, you know, hang themselves. He's seeing what they're doing, and it's only the, you know, he's going into the second year now, but, Soros is a big problem, but I'm telling you right now, the Huma Abedin emails, it was so sloppy and it was so blatant, and with the Spectre bug, we have it all mirrored. They're done. The prosecutors are out there. It's only January. Just wait till February.
How does Eric Prince tie into this? We know
Eric Prince is a great guy. Eric is a great guy. Obviously, I know Eric well. We protect the president. What do you want me to say? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this had to happen. I've said it on the show several times. The second American Revolution. Eric Prince is a good guy. The problem with Eric Prince is, again, with some of the Spectre stuff, and not only that, they have collection data of just, like, massive amounts of phone calls, which is, like, problematic, and emails. It's like you're talking at 11 o'clock at night with somebody. Obviously, during the heyday, when everyone was getting paid during the Halliburton days and the Cheney days, people were collecting money, but Eric Prince had a change of heart, or at least he seems to be pure. He seems to be at least, you know, have the president, like, you know, I don't know, seems to be protecting him, but he has a problematic past in some certain capacities. But, I mean, nobody's perfect. But as of late, as of 2 months before the election, you know, he's done great things. But I've been wary of a lot of the PMCs, and I don't work with some of those PMCs. I do my own thing, and I think really getting into that stuff. But Prince is a good guy as far as I'm concerned. Nothing too compromising, especially not in the last 12 months. And some of his operators have done great work. And,
let's say this in closing, and powerful information, because I asked Millionaire, and I'm being rude, she just sitting there, but she doesn't mind. I mean, we can talk about this for hours. No, we appreciate you. But here's the point. The arrogance of the Clintons and Soros and the globalists is just delusional. But they've got to know now that there's no way they're getting away now. There's no way they're going to win. Even if they killed me, killed Trump, killed Matt Drudge, I mean, they're not going to be able to stop us now.
Okay, so Assange had it, I had it, Corsi had it. Okay, Corsi, what did Corsi say? You're going to see people fleeing the country. You're going to see suicides. You're going to see this. You're going to see that. Huma Abedin is going to play this weird, you know, we're in such this culture now where it's like, I'm a victim. Look how big of a monster my husband was, which he was, a complete freak and just a tool. But it's like, it doesn't excuse you from what you've been doing and who you know in Pakistan, and not to mention the order that's been passed. Hey, Pakistan, how about you're not getting close to $1 billion this year? How's that sound?
It's all happening. There's definitely a big war going on. All right. Thank you so much, Zach. And I'd like to talk to you sometime today, if you can, off air or tomorrow, because I've got some questions for you. And again, nothing classified. I just want to get your take on a couple things. But
after I leave this, when this launch happens on Saturday or Sunday, depending on the weather here, I got to fly into London for 2 days. I'm going to be back into the States next week, but we need to talk because we're changing the world.
Yeah,
I would love to talk to you.
Sure. Well, I mean, here's the deal. I mean, their money's drying up. I've seen it. They had operations against us that as soon as the Saudi Arabia stuff happened, man, it got cut off.
That was rather fascinating, was it not? What's happening out here is that we're going to roll back a little bit and discuss October 1st down in Vegas there where the attack occurred on that country music crowd. There's a war going on within Saudi Arabia, and Mohammed bin Salman has arrested some of the top leaders in his country, princes, and is demanding billions from them due to influence peddling or alleged corruption charges and violations. And so what is going on is that the Vegas thing centers in prominently to this story because the deep state evidently or possibly, and this is speculation, was involved in some way in that with some of the princes that are presently under arrest in Saudi Arabia. We think that President Trump has made a deal with King Salman to quit funding certain associates and terrorist activities. And in doing that, then he's opening up a new dialogue, a new plateau of understanding with the Saudis that is transforming dramatically the politics in the Middle East. In addition to that, we have the North Korean problem that is hanging out there, and he's trying to deal with that also. Zach called in and he heard there was a launch there that should have occurred on Friday. I think it was put off until tomorrow, Sunday. And so that launch, it figures prominently in addressing the North Korean problem. And so I won't get into that. It's just I did, you know, sort of abbreviate this interview that Alex had with Zach. But in addition, he lays out so many different angles and connections. The QAnon, he states in there, is a group of individuals, less than a handful. He talks about the Silicon Sultans that because Eric Schmidt, what happened was also when President Trump signed the tax reform bill, he signed an executive order that gave him power and he started closing down some of, you could say, his opposition's bank accounts and so forth that he believed that were into human trafficking. The human trafficking is tied in at the top with the Satanists, and they've created a tremendous system of rule using Satanism, trafficking in children, and so forth. And that's what I believe that this is, the battle is unfolding right now. So we're in the midst of that. Indications that the Silicon Sultans are giving way and are getting in line is that Eric Schmidt stepped down from Google just recently, Alphabet. And that was a biggie, see. We have other things that come in out of Silicon Valley with the Spectre, you could say, scandal or expose just recently about the chip having flaws in it, some of the server-type chips, very high-speed server chips. And so that's another thing that Zach is insinuating that there was a back door in the chip and then some researchers found it. So they're trying to pass it off to the public as some kind of a flaw, some kind of a hardware flaw or you know what I mean, in the written internal instructions. But evidently it was a back door that had been built in to it from the very beginning. That would be my opinion. And so Zach gets into that also. He talks about the Seth Rich. There was a fire out at the building in Hillary Clinton's home there in New York. And so he says that might be retribution in some way because of Seth Rich's death. There's all kinds of exposure that is happening that is very, very difficult to think about or to even, you know, get into. But we have a plethora of differing things, dynamics that are going on. And just the QAnon, they say, is operating possibly under the pseudoname on Twitter of kill_rogue. Okay, go in there and check that out. Also look at the QAnon Twitter on the Twitter. But also, in the background here, he's saying, and it appears with this conversation today, and I'm analyzing it, that Trump is at peace with Julian Assange. Julian Assange was pivotal in helping Trump reveal Hillary's activities and that, you know, her gang, you say, Hillary's gang. And so that figured prominently in Trump attaining the White House. So I believe that there's an agreement that's already in the works where Assange will leave UK soon, the Ecuadorian embassy there in London, and relocate temporarily in Switzerland and then eventually return back to the United States after that. I think that's in the works, and that seems to be the scuttlebutt that's going on out there at this time. Otherwise, we have a possible strike occurring after the Olympics are over in South Korea. And I believe that China will go along with that. And also, we have the Bannon thing that just came up. And my gosh, Steve Bannon had done so much at Breitbart, you know, in helping Trump attain. But also, Steve Bannon was connected back to Goldman Sachs. And Goldman Sachs has always been behind the scenes and manipulating, very dominant in our Federal Reserve System. So that enters in also. And there's all these Goldman Sachs people in the background everywhere, even, you know, Mnuchin there as Secretary of the Treasury, as a former, and his dad was director of it for years. So Trump has gotten people surrounding him, some neocons, Goldman Sachs people, and he's working his way out of this matrix, I believe. I believe they maneuvered him into a matrix, see. And he wasn't quite sure about all the players there for a while. Now I think he's finding his real friends that are patriots, whether they were in government, in intelligence capacities, or patriots like people like myself and Alex out here on the outside. And Alex has done a prince service, a prince of a service to Trump. We have him under this barrage, constant barrage of the left, which is actually they're beginning to discredit themselves unlike I've ever seen them before. And it's not going to work to their advantage, and is actually causing them to undercut their own credibility. And people are leaving and quit watching some of these programs that are just decidedly propaganda. Hell, they'd make Goebbels look like a nursery boy, you know, what they're doing. But they're too blatant in it now, and it's too obvious. Now, one attack just recently has surfaced in this fire and this fire and fury is what I meant to say. And this Michael Wolff is the author of that. And we're going to put up an interview that he had on the Today Show. And then also on our site, a lady has done a body language analysis of it. And her conclusion is that there's great deception on his part and possibly outright lying. I'm not saying absolutely, but there's indications that he was lying during the interview, especially about having recordings of some of these conversations. And people just assumed that he had recordings and he said that on the interview. But many people looking at this now think that he was fibbing during that interview. But anyway, listen to this. This is Michael Wolff on the Today Show, and he's being interviewed about his outcoming. And the book's been issued. Trump and them tried to get a cease and desist order through, but it was a little late getting there, and they published the book anyway. So listen carefully about this right now.
Michael Wolff joins us now exclusively. Michael, good morning.
Thank you for having me.
The book is published as of 9 o'clock this morning. The president's lawyer sent a cease and desist letter threatening legal action against you and the publisher, to which you say?
And they sent that yesterday before they actually had read the book. But actually what I say is where do I send the box of chocolates?
You think he's helping you sell books?
Absolutely. I mean, and not only is he helping me sell books, but he's helping me prove the point of the book. I mean, this is extraordinary that a president of the United States would try to stop the publication of a book. This doesn't happen, has not happened from other presidents, would not even happen from a CEO of a mid-sized company.
Well, the president, obviously, as you know, tweeted about you last night. He says, I authorized zero access to the White House, actually turned you down many times, said he never spoke to you for the book. It's full of lies, misrepresentations, and sources that don't exist. So as good a place to start as any. Did you talk to the president?
What was I doing there if he didn't want me to be there?
Well, let me ask you, did you talk to the president? Did you interview him for this book?
I absolutely spoke to the president. Whether he realized it was an interview or not, I don't know, but it certainly was not off the record.
And you spoke to him at the White House after he was sworn in?
I spoke to him after the inauguration, yes. And I had spoken to, I mean, I've spent about 3 hours with the president over the course of the campaign in the White House. So my window into Donald Trump is pretty significant. But even more to the point, I spent, and this was really sort of the point of the book, I spoke to people who spoke to the president on a daily, sometimes minute-by-minute basis. So this book was really, I mean, in a sense, there was one question on my mind when I began this book. What is it like to work with Donald Trump? How can you work with Donald Trump? And what is the, how do you feel having worked with Donald Trump?
And I want to get to the substance, what you've written in the book in a moment, but just to clear this up, because the president is saying it's full of lies, that you didn't have the access you said you had.
You know, I think one of the things we have to count on is that Donald Trump will attack. He will send lawyers letters. This is a 35-year history of how he approaches everything.
Do you have recordings of some of these interviews and some of these conversations?
Well, I work like every journalist works. So I have recordings. I have notes. I am certainly and absolutely in every way comfortable with everything I've reported in this book.
Would you release any of those recordings since your credibility is being questioned?
My credibility is being questioned by a man who has less credibility than perhaps anyone who has ever walked on earth at this point.
Before I leave it, I will say the president, the tweet alludes to, quote, your past. It says, I assume referring to a profile about you in 2004 in the New Republic, the reporter said of you, the scenes in your writing aren't recreated so much as created, springing from Wolf's imagination rather than actual
I've written many books. I've written millions upon millions of words. I don't think there has ever been one correction.
So you stand by everything in the book, nothing made up.
Absolutely everything in the book.
Let's talk about the book itself, because one of the overarching themes is that, according to your reporting, everyone around the president, senior advisors, family members, every single one of them questions his intelligence and fitness for office.
Let me put a marker in the sand here. 100% of the people around him.
Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, Ivanka Trump, question his fitness for office?
Every time I want to be careful about who I spoke to, because the nature of this kind of book is you kind of grant everyone a veil. But having said that, certainly Jared and Ivanka, in their current situation, which is in a deep legal quagmire, are putting everything on the president. Not us, it's him.
What are some of the ways the president was described to you by those closest to him?
You know, I will tell you the one description that everyone gave, everyone has in common. They all say he is like a child. And what they mean by that is he has a need for immediate gratification. It's all about him. I mean, this letter for this cease and desist letter. I mean, I still have sources in the White House, and I know everybody was going, we should not be doing this. This is not smart. And he just insists. He just has to be satisfied in the moment.
You said that these senior people insult his intelligence. What are the kinds of things people would say?
They say he's a moron, an idiot. Actually, there's a competition to sort of get to the bottom line here of who this man is. Let's remember, this man does not read, does not listen. So he's like a pinball, just shooting off the sides.
One of the more disturbing observations you make in the book is that the president's close advisors, people around him, have noticed him repeating stories, expression for expression, you say, within a short period of time.
In a shortening period. So they've all tracked this, that it used to be, I know people would point out that in the beginning it was like every 25 or 30 minutes you would get the same three stories repeated. Now it's the same three stories in every 10 minutes.
And what's the suggestion there? Because that goes beyond saying, okay, the president's not an intellectual. I mean, what are you arguing there? You say, for example, that he was at Mar-a-Lago and didn't recognize lifelong friends.
I will quote Steve Bannon. He's lost it.
Let's talk about Steve Bannon, because here's somebody who was on the record with you, made some pretty bold assertions, as you mentioned, has disparaged the president, and yet now, in the last couple of days, says he's a great man and nothing can separate us. What's Bannon doing
here? Well, I want to make one. I mean, the president has tried to put this. This book is about Steve Bannon. So let me say very forthrightly, this book is not about Steve Bannon. This book is about Donald Trump. As for Steve Bannon, and I spoke to Steve, as I spoke to many people throughout the length of the reporting here, and really saw a transformation, not only of Steve, but of everyone. But Steve, in a way, is most vivid, or his language is the most vivid.
And very
the transformation was, you know, we thought this presidency could work. We thought Donald Trump is an interesting, unique character, and we might be able to do something here. And they saw him over that time come to the conclusion he cannot do this job.
I am out of time, but your former editor at Vanity Fair, Graydon Carter, said he wasn't surprised you'd written this explosive book. He was surprised they let you in the door at the White House. Are you surprised?
No, I'm a nice guy. I go in.
Did you flatter your way in?
I certainly said what was ever necessary to get the story.
Michael Wolff, thank you for being here. Again, the book is called Fire and Fury. We should mention Michael's going to be Chuck Todd's.
It's obvious, listening to that very carefully, and I'm going to put a click off where you can go up and actually see this clip. Besides, just listen on our program here. TheSecretTruth.com. We broadcast every Saturday night, 7 to 9. But anyway, I'm not only going to put up the video clip from the Today Show, but I'm going to put up the one that was the body language analysis clip also. And you'll hear the analyst chime in with her interpretation. But listen to that. That's very interesting. What's coming up next is an interview done on the War Room. It was Steve Pachinik talking about psychiatrists and their professional standards and ethics.
Steve Pachinik, that I bring on right now. Steve, there's all kinds of news that we can get into, but I want to ask you kind of a legal psychiatry type of question here. You've got psychiatrists that are going on CNN and MSNBC saying that, yes, it looks like Trump is unfit, he's mentally unfit, he can't do it. How are they legally getting away with that? Because you cannot legally diagnose someone without actually doing an examination. So how do they get away with this?
They can't. Basically, what I'd like to say is the following. I'm a board examiner. I was a board examiner for 10 years. Brenda Lee, who started this and said that Trump is not qualified, was trained at Yale Divinity School, then at Harvard and MGH. She's not board certified, as far as I know. That means I'm a board examiner. She came out of NIMH. I was offered the directorship of NIMH. So I would like to go into court, if somebody is willing to fund me, the Alex Jones Show, or anybody else, and I would like to sue every one of the psychiatrists for malpractice, incompetency, and the fact that they violated what we call the Goldwater Rule, which is the American psychiatric rule saying that you cannot make any diagnosis of a person who you have not seen. From my perspective, I am the only psychiatrist who is trained both in psychiatry at Harvard, in political science or presidential politics at MIT, and served five different presidents, where I can literally tell you what their dynamic is, what their problem is, and the dynamics and problems of every president who I did not serve with, because I taught at the War College. None of these psychiatrists are qualified, absolutely none of them, unless they work for the CIA or DIA. But none of them at this point are qualified. They should be sued. The book should be stopped because, number one, he has no idea what he's talking about. Number two, the gentleman is totally effete. Number three, he clearly is a manipulative, self-aggrandizing individual. Number four, since I'm in the novel writing business and people know my books, the Clancy franchise and others, I can say you can basically not buy the book, and you can do a strike against the book, You don't have to throw it out. Just nobody buys it. You go online, nobody buys it. Whoever anonymous is, they can mess up the system, and he doesn't get anything out of it. The reality is that this president of the United States is not sick. Quote, he is not crazy, emphatically, not mentally ill. With absolute clear determination from a board examiner, what he has is a personality which likes to play games, likes to manipulate, likes to have what he has. He likes to be what he wants to be. He can be grandiose. He can be self-aggrandizing. But the bottom line is he is not mentally ill. When you build building after building, when you've worked in New York and you build a fortune, billions of dollars, I would like to see one psychiatrist, just one, come up and tell me how many millions they have made on a business that they were never in and could create that business. There's not one psychiatrist I know. By the way, for 10 years, I board examined people exactly like those psychiatrists, and guess how many I flunked on a simple question of, tell me what you see about the patient, just what they're doing right now. I flunked over 60% of all of them on a simple question. That means in my business, you cannot be board certified. Brenda Lee is not board certified. If she were board certified, I would have decommissioned her. She would have had a malpractice suit. By the way, this is the second time Yale Medical School has come forth with false psychiatric information. Owen, would you remember the first time? It's pushing you, but you weren't on the show yet. Would you remember anything about Yale Medical School? Does anybody remember that?
I'd be guessing it would probably be something on another conservative candidate for president, like a John McCain or something.
No, it's a good guess. It was Sandy Hook. When Yale Medical School came forth and they offered a psychiatrist who trained at Mass Mental Health right behind me, he made up a total bullshit story, nonsensical, non-existent story about a guy who never existed, Adam Lanza. Plus, there was a psychiatric nurse who came from New Hampshire and did the same thing. So Yale Medical School has been in the business of falsifying information, making up stories, and at the same time being inappropriately medically professional. They're ineffective. And if I were head of HHS, that human services, I would stop funding Yale. If I were NIH, I would stop funding Yale, NIMH, and I would throw out the chairman of the department, the dean of the medical school, and I would throw out Brenda Lee. And if you don't do that, that's malpractice. Because at this particular point in time, I will remind every psychiatrist, thousands of you psychiatrists and analysts came out and said the same thing about Barry Goldwater because he seemed to be impulsive. He was talking about strategic warfare and bombing, and then you declared that he was crazy. You were wrong. You were wrong then. You're wrong now, and you're totally inappropriate. I wish Trump would file suit. I wish others would file suit. So each one of these psychiatrists would have a malpractice suit, plus we could make money on it. And that's the best way to make money on that. And I will teach all of these schools a lesson. Now, let me make another point clear. I went to Cornell University Medical College, which was an excellent school before. Who bought it out? Sandy Weill, a corrupt banker from Citibank who had to clean out his money through the Clinton administration and bought out a medical school. So it's no longer Cornell University Medical College, which was famous. And he could never get in there because of his background and his religion. And guess what? Now it's called the Weill Medical School. Mount Sinai is called Icahn Medical School. And Los Angeles, it's called the Geffen Medical School. So the Jewish corrupt businessmen come into the medical schools and they buy out these medical schools with their names because they can't get in there. So now you got to understand that the sanctity of the medical school is not that great. And they should be evaluated and accordingly evaluated. NIH has to be reorganized. I know Tony Fauci. I have a great respect for Tony. Tony's been there too long. He was my resident when I was an intern at Cornell. He was a brilliant clinician. Now it's time that he leaves, departs, gets rid of his $300,000 salary, and cleans out NIH and IMH. It's time to clean them all out. That's what Trump has to do.
Well,
other than that, doing fine.
Steve, to me, you just made headlines here. To me, you just made a news story. I don't know how this isn't a linked on Drudge story right now. We should have a team of writers working on this. Steve Pachinik says it's time to sue these psychiatrists that are saying Trump is mentally unfit, going on air and saying this. So, I mean, we got 30 seconds left. What do we do? I mean, how do we do this? If they need to be sued, what do we do?
Practice suit.
A PDF of the Professional Standard Ethics of Psychiatry is up now.